Good morning, everyone, here in our fellowship at Great Hope Christian Fellowship in Tampa. I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of our fellowship here. All of you that may be listening today, I've had a title of our message today because we're so close to Memorial Day, and I titled it Memorial Passion. And, of course, the memory of those who gave the ultimate price of laying their life down. We've expressed that appreciation here just a little bit ago before I returned our message on for you to listen, that are listening today, how grateful we are for those who have given the ultimate price in their life for the freedoms we have in our country. And other democracies has done the same thing. So we're grateful for the avenues of the gospel of Jesus Christ being freely shared in countries that are mainly democracy, democratic countries that can do that. So we're very grateful. But on this memorial, so close to Memorial Day, which is tomorrow and Monday, I titled our message Memorial Passion. And what I'd like to visit today is in way of reminder of the gratitude to the Lord to have a memory, to remember what God has done. I want to say that, first of all, I'm grateful for a memory that I can remember what God has done. How many of you, you can relate to where you were, you can relate to where you are as far as memory. Now, you can't remember the future. that happens as we speak. As the clock ticks, it becomes history, you can remember that. But how many of you know how horrible it can be for those who have Alzheimer's and have lost their memory, for a wife to say to their husband or a husband to say to the wife, do you know where John is? Do you know where Derek? And that's the husband looking at him right in the face. Or do you know where Marilyn is? And they're looking at each other, you know, right in the face, and it's just a horrible thing to not know who your mate is after many years of being married, and for the children to experience that. And Alzheimer's can be a horrible thing to have your memory robbed. And so I do know another horrible thing that can be experienced is for there to be spiritual Alzheimer's, and for people to, when it comes to God and what God has done, and for what God has done in this country to establish this country for the freedoms that we have in this country because of the lives that have been given and God working and moving that we can have these freedoms in this country, a country that's been established as a Christian nation. What a horrible thing for our politicians today to kind of have spiritual Alzheimer's and go, duh, I don't know about this God-established nation. At least that's what I see in their behavior and their ways that they marginalize God and want to push God out of politics and out of the leadership of this country and make little to do about God being the ruler, founder, establisher of this nation. I think we have a serious problem with spiritual Alzheimer's today. And but I'm grateful that we can literally have our minds to remember what God has done and to not forget that. Over and over again in the New Testament, we'll touch on some of those scriptures today about do not forget, remember. Teach them to your children over and over and over again. We have that message in the Word of God. So Memorial Passion is what I title this today. And we must remember that in God we can accomplish all things. Without Him, we cannot. And God has proven that through history. Well, one of the historical lessons I want to share with us right now, and not share the whole story, but just a part of it, in Genesis 18, in Genesis chapter 18, we have angels coming. In Genesis 18, and who are they going to visit in Genesis 18? Man by the name of Abraham. they're going to visit Abraham in his old age, age beyond bearing children, and they're going to visit his elderly wife, age beyond bearing children. And yet the angels come, and they're down there by the oaks of Mamre, where Abraham was, and perhaps in the shade of the tree in the heat of the day. These messengers of God appear. God has a plan throughout the ages when he appears to man and he speaks to man, and it's all an initiation for everything to be culminated in God's great plan. Beyond man's imagination, God moves. And he comes to Abraham and he says to and let's go to verse 9 right away. Verse 9, 18, 9. And they say to Abraham, "Where's Sarah, your wife?" And how would angels know who Abraham's wife's name was? I mean, angels know. They know who Shirley is. They know who Mark is. God knows who we are. The messengers of God know. He knows our name. God knows our names. He's intimately acquainted with all of our ways, all of our fears, all of our desires to want to run at times. And we hear the name, we hear cancer and June bug. You know, we truly, it's a rattling, foundation shaking word, the C word. And so we're grateful for God's deliverance from such a disease. And we have testimonies to that. Yet we know there are those who die of cancer. And so, We have God being intimately acquainted with all of our fears and all the things that we go through. He even knows our names. And they say, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "Behold, she's in a tent." And he said, "I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Well, she heard what was going on. Evidently, they weren't being quiet about it. They're just talking, having a normal conversation. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become old, I shall have pleasure, my Lord, being old also. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'I shall indeed bear a child when I am so old, or shall I indeed bear a child when I am old?'" And here it is in verse 14. Have somebody want to read that nice and loud for us? Verse 14 is so powerful.
"Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return to you, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son."
Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, "I didn't laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No." Oh, actually, she was lying, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't see God with the lie swatter. I don't see God pulling out through the angels, whoever the messenger is, said Lord there also, and says angels three of them, with a lie swatter, wanting to destroy her for lying. But she did lie. I mean, she said, "I didn't laugh." They said, "Yeah, you did laugh." How many of you do lie at times? And you know, my mother used to call it a fib. She used to call it storytelling. Mom would seldom come up and say, "You're lying," or "You're a liar." She would say, "You're a storyteller," or "You told a fib." You know, but what she meant was, "You lied." And so, don't story to your father when he comes home, you know, because sometimes we get into trouble and she'd say, "I'm going to tell your father when he comes home, and then you're going to get it." But anyhow, here it is. The Lord, and I want to say this to all of us here, really hear this very clear. He is not expecting us to, like Shirley said, this is so powerful, to buck up and accomplish something that he asked us to do. Just for your strength, he didn't ask her to buck up and have a baby. Put the power of positive thinking, buck up and have a baby, because I told you you're going to have a baby. But what the message is anything too difficult for the Lord? He didn't say, is anything too difficult for Sarah and Abraham? He said, is anything too difficult for the Lord? This time next year, you're going to have a baby. So it's not you bucking up, overcoming whatever there is that's hanging on to you, that's pulling you down, that is gravitating you to some place that you don't want to be, or in some habit that you don't want to continue in. It's not your strength to be delivered from that. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? So what he's saying is, the Lord is saying, I will enable you to be impregnated, to be able to have a baby, which, by the way, is impossible. So their brains knew it was impossible. Try to hang out with Sarah and Abraham right now, just a little bit. They're going to have a baby, but they're too old to have the baby. So is this something to laugh about? Is this something to laugh about? Which is, would you not have a tendency to, in that nervousness or what? You know the difference between a laugh, a hearty laugh, and a nervous laugh? I mean, there's a difference. Like, there's a difference. And so, however she laughed. But God was not putting it on her to have a baby by bucking up and having a baby. This was a very powerful thing. How many of you know that you have tried and you have not been able to overcome whatever it is that's hanging on to you? I enjoy the song about break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Wow. There are chains in our life. And don't get used to hanging out with them or hanging on to things that you don't need to be hanging on to anymore. So we can conclude that, well, maybe one day I'll be able to buck up and get over it. I mean, I'll just try harder. How many of you have tried harder? You try harder. I mean, you might write something. You might promise God something. You don't have to do that. How many have promised God something? Mm-hmm. And you didn't do it? I think that's very common to more people what you think. But don't be promising God. Don't be saying, promise God, promise this, and I love you so much, I'm going to promise you, I'll guarantee you, God, I'll write it down, I'll eat the note, I'll swallow it, I'll digest it, I'll have it within me. God, I promise, I'm going to get over this. And what you need to be praying is, what you need to be asking, God, I really want to be over this. And I want you to empower me to do what you're calling me to do. I want you to empower, I want you to enable me to do this. Now, today, how many have any clue how that can be possible? See, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Now watch this. This is so powerful. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Where is the Lord today in relationship to His church and His people? Where is the Lord? Where does He reside? Inside, we are the temple of what? The Holy Spirit of God. So now watch this. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? And don't look at God up in heaven, away from you, not able to hear your cry or your prayer. He said, I am in you. I am inside you. I reside within the temple of my people. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So, is anything too difficult for me in you to do? We have to say, or else we're lying, no. But there again, if I have something that I don't want to be empowered to overcome, then I'm not going to really be in a hearty prayer about that to overcome whatever it is. It's not going to be from my heart. But if I really, really do want God to empower me to overcome, I'm going to have a passion about remembering that He can do that from the past. Knowing that in present examples of testimonies, that God is able to enable me to overcome whatever it is, because God says, knock, knock, I'm inside. I don't have to appear to you like I did the Oaks of Mamre with Sarah and Abraham. I'm inside you. Knock, knock. I'm inside. You're praying to me right now. Knock, knock. I'm right here. You want to overcome what? And God will meet us if we're sincere. But if we have something that we're asking God to overcome, but we have no desire for it to be seen, God says, well, I'll work with you, but I guess you want to hold on to it for a while longer. And the bottom line is, yeah, I guess I do. And the Lord said, yeah, you guessed right. You still want to hold on to it. But we can overcome anything and everything that is detrimental to us, that need not be there, that shouldn't be there, and the Holy Spirit will make sure we know what it is, and God will deliver us from that. This is so powerful. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? How many of you read this many times? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Many, many times we've read this, and nothing is... We know that. We can rock out, and nothing's too difficult for the Lord. Break every chain, break every chain. But Lord, I've got some things on me I'm not ready. And the Lord does not pull out His swatter to destroy you. God wants... He wants us to come along. He wants us to be the children, the men and women that He called us to be. How many of you know God loves you? God wants us to come out of Egypt. He wants us to come out of the world. He wants us to come out so that we can come in. He wants us to come out of Egypt so that we can go into the promised land. God has made a covenant with us. God has given us a land of promise. God has given us hope. God has given us future. God has given us the empowerment of His Spirit to be able to overcome any and all things in our life. And no matter where we go, God has given us a plan. God has said in His Word, I have plans for you, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and give you a hope. Over and over again, we have these promises. We have to remember them. We have to own them. We have to welcome them. And we have to allow God to do a work within us. Do you believe there's enough room for changes in our life right now? I don't care how long you've known the Lord. If you've known Him for 100 years, how many of you know there's room for growth? There's room to stay in continuing ed with the Lord. Stay in class. Stay humble. And don't think that you know it all, because you and I don't. He does. We don't. He does. And so, you and Abraham are going to have a child this time next year. And by the way, I'll be back to see it. So, and she laughed. I don't want to laugh at what God is able to do. With you, June, it's all God. And you know it. The doctors didn't heal you.
No.
You know what your diagnosis was. You know what you had.
He wasn't ready for me. He was ready for Mike and Wanda. That kind of makes me feel like, why am I so special? But I guess, you know, he was ready for them. And he knows that Debbie and Lisa and Kathy need me now. And, you know,
God has a plan. God has a plan for June.
Right.
That's what you need to own. That's what you need to live and welcome and invite. For the Lord, the Holy Spirit in your life right now to be able to live it out.
Right.
That's where you are. And I tell you, I shout hallelujah, Carlos. I see her down here. I see her all the way down at Walgreens with Kathy, Kit Kat. And then I see her down here at Chamberlain. And not only is she cancer-free, but... And I know you have neuropathy, right? You still have neuropathy?
Yeah, and I have this.
Now...
I have lymphedema.
See? I don't believe you're allowed to do those things if you have neuropathy.
That's numb, but you keep on walking.
That's what I want you to say. I know.
The Lord helps me walk.
You have the handicap. There's a lot of people in here with pain.
Yeah.
A lot of people still endurance. A lot of people still going on. But we don't need to go on just because we're bucking up.
Right.
There's a difference. We're not just bucking up with what we have. Carlos just saw you recently. They told you had some things, you know, and going on with you. And Drew, somebody whacked you and you got some numbness in your arm. We can't just buck up. But God will enable us. It's not too difficult for the Lord. And so my heart, I would love to have the unlimited, without any inhibitions whatsoever, the unlimited ability, just bang, 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 new set of legs, knee, no arm, you got an arm, you got a neck, oh, whoa, there we go,
bam, you know, just like that. And everybody's healed. Everybody's glorifying God. But is everybody necessarily going, just because of that, going to go on and live a glorious life for the Lord? Just because they're healed? Not necessarily. Some people walking and leaping and praising God for the healing, manifestation of healing. But it doesn't mean that everybody, just because, otherwise let's go clear out the hospitals. Let's clear them all out. The insane asylums and everything else. Mental, physical, let's clear them out. And not necessarily is everybody going to worship and love God just because they're healed. And so it's up to God to move and to will and to have His plan fulfilled as we look to Him. But that's why we can't figure it out. We have to look to the Lord. We have to minister God as priest of God. We have to worship Him. We have to adore Him. We have to remember to do that with passion, to worship the Lord. And so as far as my brothers and sisters, if somebody else, is somebody else up here, and Shirley and Lisa are dancing, and Drew and I up here kicking up the heels or something, I don't know. I mean, you might see me up here dancing one day, but I ain't going to do it for a show. If I move, if I raise my hands or whatever, it won't be for show. It'll be for the glory of God. And God help me if the Spirit of God touches my heart to move in some fashion, to be animated. God help me if I don't, because I'll blow up. I'll implode. So this is not about teaching for us all to get animated and start dancing around. This is a teaching about glorifying God in your life. And some people are more vociferous than others. How many of you ever heard of Tony Evans? How many of you heard of T.D. Jakes?
Oh, yeah.
How many of you ever heard of Joel Osteen? I mean, just how many of you heard of Billy Graham? I mean, you got one spectrum to the other, man. Some of these people you can just talk, and some people are animated, some people are loud. Sometimes I got to turn the radio down because, wow, you know. I hear you. You don't have to talk that loud, but it's just where they are. We got to love one another, you know. And so it's not about animation or loudness. It's about a passion to serve the living God and to call upon Him and to allow Him to move within us and to do things. And so, is anything too difficult for the Lord? How many of you have been guilty of really, really been guilty of doubting God's ability because what you got going on is too difficult? I want to be honest with you. Yesterday, I got to myself just a little animated. I was in my office. I'm just seeking God what He wants to do to be articulate a take it home. It's Memorial Day. And God, there's so many things going on. And we need to honor this and do that. And God, I took my fist on my desk. God, what is it? How do I do it? How do you say it? What is it? What are we going to do? It's not like, what am I going to do? What are we going to do, Lord? And how do we say it? And TikTok it all day long, and TikTok all day long, and God, what is it? What is it? What is it? Because time goes by and Sunday morning comes, and sooner or later, either you're going to do it or you're not. And so I go through this. I tell Shirley, it's just like I'm just ripped on the inside, groping for what God wants to do or what God wants to say. And I can't say back to Him, "You're not able to do this, Lord." I said, "Whoa, I can't say that." God is able to enable. And I said, "God, I know I love You. I know that. But I can't in my brain make words come together. I can't do that. I need You. I depend upon You. I can't formulate. I can't articulate. I can't do this without You. I don't want to do it without You, and I won't do it without You." I said those very words to Shirley. And so around 7 o'clock last night, I gave it to the printer. I know a lot of you can relate to what I'm saying, But I don't want to stand up here just to talk to you and give you 4,000 scriptures. That's not what we're here for. We're here to remember the glorious plan of God and how to apply it, how to activate it in our daily life. Well, one thing that we can do is not laugh when God is serious. Do not laugh when God means business. And I realize these were literal angels appearing to Abraham. He saw them. And he went out and they butchered the lambs and stuff and they had a meal. And they were representative of the living God. They appeared to them and they spoke with them and they saw them, but they were only visible because of the arrangement of God. God can have angels visible or invisible coming and going, but they are ministering spirits and they appeared to him to give him a message. And that through this birth of Isaac, all the nations were going to be blessed and more numerous than the sand of the sea. If your mind wants to go there, go to the beach or just go to the hardware store and get you a little bag of sand. Or there's probably some spilled on the floor. Scoop it up and start counting the granules of sand. And he's talking about the sand of the sea or the stars in heaven above, infinite. Your children, your lineage will be blessed that much. And then, this is mind-blowing. This is unbelievable. That was a miracle. And then, in chapter 22, he says, take your son, your only son, and Abraham knew the whole process, the miracle, the birth and everything, and I want you to offer him to me. Abraham didn't laugh here. In this example, by the oaks of Man, he didn't say laugh. It's like he was receiving it. And then also, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and offer him to me, which was Isaac. And so you say, God, that my descendants are going to be as numerous as the sand of the seashore. And then now you're telling me to cut that off? I mean, are you playing mind games with me? Or do I need to go find out another God to serve here? And this is, and we hear later on in Hebrews, and we hear all throughout about his faith, Abraham, because of his faith. It's hard to go there, isn't it? Can you understand what I'm saying? It's hard to go there. Miraculous birth, and now I want you to give him to me. And Abraham says, in response, here I am. How many of you would like to be at a place when God speaks to you? And He does. He can speak to you through the Word. Drew can come up to me and say, brother, I've got something from the Lord to share with you. God can speak that way. God will always confirm it. God can speak through Michelle. God can speak through Nessie, and He has. God can speak through Laura, and He has. God can speak through Mary, and He has. God can speak through us. Are you willing to be passionate about hearing from God, remembering that He does speak to His people, and knowing that He speaks to His people today? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us. Are you open with such a desire to press into the kingdom of God that you can say to Him, here I am, when He speaks? Wow. And you can believe that if God told me, take your son, your only son, my son, and offer him to me, you can believe there are going to be 40 million witnesses somewhere telling me that's from the Lord. Do you think I would do that if just one individual, and not knowing who that came from, if it wasn't from the Lord, I'd do that. It'd be crazy. But I love my son. I love him. I love all my children. And by the way, he just called me yesterday. He did his first solo flight, which some of the others have had. My family, a lot of
flyers in my family. And the first time God trains us, enables us, and then he says, and there's nobody else in the other seat. There's nobody else in the other seat. I'm in radio contact, but it's just me now. What a feeling. And I asked him, he said, yeah, Dad. He says, I was nervous. And I asked my other brother, Jack. He says, only those who've done it know it. All by yourself. Sooner or later, it's got to happen. Okay, so you're not ready. We're going to give you 40 more lessons. And then you're going to have to solo. Well, I'm not ready yet. Okay, I'm going to give 80 more lessons. Then you're going to have to solo. 5 years from now, you're going to have to solo. Sooner or later, you got to take flight. You got to trust what you've been trained. Yes. Instructor's been with you. Now you're by yourself, but you're not. He's watching you. But you're up there by yourself. And by the way, God is not my co-pilot. I ain't never going to put that thing on my car. Then I see people change it to say, God's my pilot. I said, okay, he's got it straight now. He ain't no co-pilot. But I love my son. We as a ministry here, and for whomsoever I'm speaking to on this internet, if y'all are in a ministry or a part of a ministry, seek the face of God to hear from Him and have a passion to be mindful that God knows what He's doing. Have a passion to be mindful to know that God knows what He's doing and that He can enable you. You don't need to go out and you take it home. You don't go out and you work for God. It's a matter of allowing Him to move and work in you what He wills. To will and to do. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We are here on this earth to serve God. We are here on this earth to be mindful that God knows what He's doing. We are here on this earth to be servants of the Lord God Most High, and that is our mission. That's our broad mission. Now, what He does specifically, may God use June, your experience with being free from cancer. It better edify everybody in here. I mean, if somebody's not edified, they're dead. So you and I need to go pray with them. We need to go resuscitate. If they're not giving God the glory for what He's done. Because I thank God for you. You are walking. You do have neuropathy. You're not coming here. I don't see you weeping. It seems like you're glad to be here with us and to have your precious daughter with you. It's awesome to always see, you know, you two together, or you and Kit Kat together. I don't care who you're with, but what God is doing in your life is very powerful. And our precious Debbie, we'll always remember her too, right where she is, of course.
Forward to seeing her sit here too.
Yeah, praise the Lord. So God is good, and Drew and God is teaching us. Don't laugh when God is speaking. Don't laugh, and in this place and in this ministry. Don't laugh, because God wants us to come closer to Him. He wants us to press in. I'm not going to go into those scriptures. We're going to get ready to close. There's 14,000 other scriptures we can cover about Paul pressing in to the high calling of God, forgetting that which is past. I press. And we all need to be asking God, how do we press into here? God, you want me to minister to you. How do I minister to you? How do I honor you? We honor God by a sacrifice, a sacrificial life, by laying our life down, we honor the Lord. We honor the Lord by giving Him the sacrifice of praise that can be animated, that can be vociferous, that can be an instruments or whatever. So we offer the sacrifice of praise. We minister to God as priests of God. We come into His presence, the Holy of Holies, because the veil has been ripped. It's been torn, where we can go into the Holy of Holies through Christ Jesus, and that blood of Jesus is there to allow that. That is the key, the blood of Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God. Of all the lambs that were cut and sacrificed in the Old Testament, all the way up through Jesus, He did away with them by offering the ultimate sacrifice, the blood of His own body. No more the sacrifice of bulls and goats. that the sacrifice of his own son has been shed. His blood has been given for you and I, you and me. Praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. So today, read your Take It Homes. It's about remembering and being passionate about what Jesus has done for us, the plan of God through the ages. Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. Our men laid their lives down in war, and we have our freedoms, but those could not give us eternal life. Their death does not give us, nor can it impart eternal life. Not that blood. It gave us freedoms that we appreciate, and we express that appreciation. But the ultimate sacrifice of all sacrifices of all ages was the blood of Jesus, the very Lamb of God, without spot, without wrinkle. Our beloved Jesus laid it down for you and me. So today, I just want to invite anyone and everyone to understand that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you will confess with your mouth, Romans 10:9, that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. There's no other name. There's no other sacrifice. There's no other way. There's no other truth. There's no other life. Just Jesus. Plain, pure, and simple. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Amen.